Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It is easy to leave a burning building when it is on fire. But what if that building contains the very thing that gives you life, excitement, peace, joy, courage, and wonder? Will you be an agent of change, or do nothing and eventually leave? If you work in Catholic ministry, business, or education, and need quality content on your website or social media pages, contact The Simple Catholic for copywriting services at thesimplecatholic.blog and click on the writing services page for more information. The Church Militant needs soldiers against the enemy. Enlist The Simple Catholic in this fight for the truth. Good News Ministries of GNM.org. It's the Catholic place for growing your faith. Good News Ministries will provide you with faith-building reflections, virtual retreats, prayer resources, and lots more. All of it is free. Visit GNM.org today.
Welcome to Quote Me, a weekly podcast that seeks to encourage, inspire, and lift you up to be all you were created to be. Words are powerful. Recognizing and celebrating the impact they have on our lives can comfort or challenge us, or both at once. I'm your host, Lindsay Schlegel, and I'm so glad you're here. Today, I hope we can honor the truth, beauty, and goodness of well-chosen language, and so glorify God. Let's begin.
I'm so happy to have with me today Mary Harrell, Catholic radio producer and co-host of the radio show Coffee and Donuts with John and Mary, heard on Modern Day Radio out of Portland, Oregon, with 20-plus markets throughout the country. Mary, thanks for hanging out with me.
Lindsay, it's a great pleasure. My gosh, it's so weird to be on the other side of this. I'm not the one hitting record. I don't know what to do with myself. I'm just sitting here with a pen in my hand.
Do you have coffee and or a donut with you?
Oh, okay. So the crazy deep irony of it is that I am gluten-free. And at the moment, I'm even grain-free. And I haven't found a grain-free, gluten-free donut. So I do have the coffee. I'm like 50% of coffee and donuts. I think John gets the donuts. I'm more or less the coffee person.
Okay, well, teamwork makes the dream work is what I tell my kids when we're folding laundry.
True. It's a good
model. They're like, okay, it rhymes. We will do the job.
You're a good mom.
Oh, gosh. Rhyming and alliteration every day.
Keys to life.
Right. So you have a Chesterton quote for us today.
I do.
I do. Really excited about this. Every bit of Chesterton I see in the world, I'm into.
Oh.
My husband and I kind of tried to start reading Orthodoxy a few years ago. Didn't get far, but it's on the to-do list, the TBR.
That's right. If you've tried, you are ahead of many people, if that's any consolation. If you've
tried. You guys did a giveaway a little while ago, right? Of like how much Chesterton had you read? And I think I put in like 3 to 6 pages is how much I've read. I loved it, but I read at night, and like Chesterton is hard to take in at 10:30 at night.
It's really it will close your eyes more than keep them awake at 10:30, which I mean, depending on what you're going for, it might be the sweet spot.
Sometimes
but it's
effective. Mm-hmm,
yeah, that can be rough.
So you heard this quote while interviewing Dale Alquist. Am I saying that right?
Yes. And
can you tell us a little about?
I did. Would you like me to read the quote now?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So the quote, I interviewed Dale Alquist earlier this year about a new book he had coming out. It was called Knight of the Holy Ghost, like Knight on a Horse, K-N-I-G-H-D, which was more or less putting forward his case for Chesterton's canonization when he was still kind of in that mode earlier this year. And then we get towards the end of the interview and I say, Dale, what are your own favorite Chesterton chestnuts. I thought that was cute.
He didn't think it was cute.
I probably heard it. Right, because alliteration and rhyming. Whatever. Anyway, so, and do you know Dale's voice? He does those Chesterton minutes on Catholic radio through the years. And at the end, he says, do you want more than a minute? Visit Chesterton.org. And I've always loved that because Chesterton.com is an auto manufacturing parts website. So you have to be very careful on the internet.
The internet. Where you end up. needs some discretion for sure.
It's a dangerous place, yes. Anyway, so Dale said this was one of his favorites, and it was, "Men do not differ much about what things they will call evils. They differ enormously about what evils they will call excusable." And ooh.
Right? And that quote is 110 years old.
It is 110 years old. That's true. And isn't that amazing? Something 110 years old can give you chills. So yes. It made me look so critically at my own sins and my vices. And then what kinds of bad behavior on my own do I excuse and I permit and I equivocate? And you're like, so I gossiped. Okay, well, that's not as bad as other things. After all, I didn't murder anybody. Like,
right. Don't
pin a medal on me.
Good news, God. I didn't.
Right. I didn't kill someone today. Like, that's the golden standard of Christian living, right? So yeah. I went and looked this up. Yeah, 1909 in the Illustrated London News. And the other context around it, if I could just read real quick.
Sure, please do.
Chesterton said, "The sins are substantially the same all over the earth. What men fight each other about is the question of which are the venial and which are the mortal sins." In other words, all men admit the Ten Commandments, but they differ horribly about which commandment is the first and which is the tenth. So you judge them on the scale when in reality, it's all evil. It's all sins. They're all bad. And so you can't, like, taking the Lord's name in vain. I could say, well, that's not a big deal, but it is a big deal. Don't equivocate it. Not keeping, you know, holy the Lord's day. It's a big deal. Face it, own it. Go confess
it. God actually did put them in order, right? Like, it's not 5 and 5, it's 3 and 7. The first two are about God's right relationship with man.
Yes.
No, with
yes.
God, sorry. And the last are with man. So yeah, he kind of did put them in order. Not like he did. Top 10.
No, right. But right. But we'll take, if all I've done is not keeping, you know, if I'm not honoring my mother and father, well, at least I'm not doing the sixth. At least I'm not doing the fifth. Well, no, it's all bad. And it's not that sins are excusable, but they are forgivable. You just need to go confess them and then not do them again. Go and sin no more. And I think we keep ourselves I keep myself in the pattern of sin, equivocating, well, it's not so bad. Okay, I lost my head at the kids today and I screamed. That's still not okay. Even though it's not murder, it's still not okay. So anyway.
And I think that mentality can also keep us from confession.
Yes.
Right? Because if you didn't do anything, like, or as I understand it, all of our venial sins can be forgiven through the confiteor at the beginning of Mass.
Sure.
Yes. But mortal sins definitely need to be taken to confession. So maybe we can start to feel like, well, this kind of got forgiven over. That's probably fine. Or I, you know, again, I didn't murder anyone. I don't need to go to confession. Or I'm going to go right before Easter. I'll go then. Right. Or I'll go right before Christmas and that's it.
Right.
It's amazing to think about this, how much of the grace of confession we lose out on.
Yes. Yes. And how much lighter we feel. And I had the great experience in the last year that my eldest just, you know, he's in third grade. So he just made his first reconciliation, just received his first communion. So he is this little baby Catholic, has this newfound sense of, hey, it's Saturday. That means we go to confession. Right, Mom and Dad? Right. And in my head, I can say,
we're living parallel lives. My son and I are also in that space, for sure.
Yes. Yes. And it's beautiful to see that in a little boy that I want to say, please hold on to that for the rest of your life. Don't be like me and start excusing your sins. You know, when you have small sins in your soul, you know the grace of confession. You know how good that is to go to confession and then hours later go to Mass. You know the beauty of that. Please don't ever lose that, because that's how we get to be skeptical, cynical people who excuse our sins.
Absolutely. So. Yeah. My son and I decided to start going the first Saturday of the month. And sometimes, you know, if we miss a week, we go, you know, sometimes it's the second Saturday.
Right.
There. And he is enthusiastic and better about it than I am. There was one time a few months ago where something came up and, you know, Jacob, I don't know if it's going to happen today or whatever. And time's getting closer. When I have to go to confession, like, it's 4 o'clock at our parish on Saturday, and the whole day I'll be like a little antsy, seeing if it's actually going to happen. Is something going to? My husband's super supportive. He goes in the city where he works, so, and he goes even more regularly than I do. So he's totally, of course, he'll watch the kids while I go to, you know.
Oh, so
and
good.
I'm thinking, well, maybe something's going to get in the way. I don't know if it's going to work out today. And my son, so Mom, We're getting in the car or what? Because we should probably leave now because there might be.
Because we should probably leave.
Cool. And he writes them down. Like, he writes a list.
His sins? Oh, gosh.
Not all the time. The first
good boy.
He went to confession. We have this book by Kendra Tierney, a little book about confession for kids. So it has a kid's examination of conscience in it.
Oh, so good.
So he wrote it down. He goes, Mom, I have 30 lines. And I'm like, sounds right.
Sounds right.
But how many lines are in mine? You know, how many?
Gosh.
I think you can think of confession as we need to go to when something big happens, or it's like even you might be even ashamed of saying you have to go to confession because it means you did something wrong. Like, well, here's some news. Mm-hmm. Like, we all do it.
We all need to do it. I go pick up my kids. I sit in that pickup line and people are not paying attention, or people you cut and you pick up your kids and you say, well, got to go to confession. Got to go now. Lost it in my head. Lost it out loud, whatever. Yeah. And I think it's great too, to let your kids see that you acknowledge that you have sinned and that you need to go as well. I think that's really powerful for them. I think it's powerful, at least for my son. He usually goes with his dad, and to see that father-son experience, it takes a man to confess his sins, but it does. It takes a man, it takes a woman, it takes an adult, it takes someone who is adulting to go confess their sins.
You have to have a certain maturity of faith and understanding of who you are and who God is in order to want that. Because to go to confession begrudgingly, is also not the way. I mean, God's got arms wide open waiting for us.
And you prepare them. I think you prepare your kid as well for those sins when they get older. We're talking about sins past puberty. We're talking into that range, young adulthood. Let them see that you set the model of you going to confession as an adult as well, so that when they get to that age, they can say, I can go and do this. Even though my sins be as scarlet, I am going to go into that confessional and I'm going to be forgiven and I'm going to have true contrition and I'm not going to do it again. I think that's huge for kids as well.
Absolutely. And my hope obviously is that my kids stick close to the faith and they understand how much Jesus loves them and they want that. But I'm aware of the reality that for all of them, that may not be the case. There may be some missteps. There may be some struggles. There may be long periods of trial. I don't know. My oldest kid is 9, right? Like, I don't know yet. But my hope is that by making it a regular habit too, and I think because I've experienced this in my own life, when I have made it a very regular habit every month or every 2 months, when I fall off of that track, something feels wrong.
Yes.
Something isn't right. And it's not just, you know, my habit isn't there. There's something different about me and the quality of who I feel I am and understand myself to be inside that doesn't make me the same person on the outside.
Well, and what's the only thing that keeps you? Fear, shame, guilt, and the little devil in your life that says, well, you don't have time to go to that today. You don't have time to do that. He doesn't want you to have grace. He wants you to keep that mark on your soul as long as he possibly can.
Right. Or it's not marked at all. There's nothing there.
Right. Right.
What would you confess even?
Yeah. What do you have to do? You're a good person. After all, you didn't murder anybody.
Right. Because that is what Jesus said. Please don't murder people. Otherwise, we'll be fine.
That was it. Otherwise, we're chill.
Yeah. We're here good. And there, try to be nice. That's not what he said, right? Like, how are the works of mercy?
I don't think so, but I'm a Catholic. I don't read the Bible, so I don't know exactly. Got to work on that.
Pretty sure that wasn't a direct quote. That's the next episode of Quote Me. No, definitely.
You're getting material for days here. Days, weeks.
Fabulous. This is a
there
whole
you go.
So I love that. I love that on the individual level. But on the broader level of society and culture too.
Oh gosh.
You know, when I first read the quote, I was thinking of when someone has a gross misstep, some celebrity or some, you know, vile individual, and there's the apology that, you know, probably their PR person wrote, it's delivered without much sincerity, and we all kind of move on.
Right.
And I don't want to be teaching my kids that that's okay. I think I'm still figuring that out.
I am as well. And I was thinking, it's funny you say that. I was thinking about that in relation to this quote today, and I was trying to work out my thoughts in a logical way, which is difficult when you're a mom because you barely do anything logically because you keep getting interrupted and it's hard to make a coherent chain of thoughts.
We're doing it right here.
I thought about that in our cancel culture today of you find a person who's done more or less one thing, or they said one thing however many years ago or 5,000 tweets ago or whatever. And then we extrapolate from that one that they must be removed from what they're doing. They are unforgivable. They're out. They're done. And I thought about that too. What are we saying to our kids when we say you messed up and you did this thing wrong? Therefore, you're out. Your life's ruined. You're done. Yeah. Public opinion has brought down the gavel on what you said. And therefore, yeah, no more. You're out. Yeah. And I don't know. I try and equivocate. Am I okay with that in some situations? Am I not okay with it in others? Can I hold a true standard for, but I don't know. There's that thing. What is excusable? And what is not? And do we say that someone else, so they make a misstep, therefore they're done? But wouldn't you want the grace and the mercy to get forgiveness and come back if you said something in anger, if you said something that you take back or that you are upset with the way you said something? So I don't know. Again, I think it comes down to you think critically and you try and offer the same forgiveness that you would want someone to offer you if you are sincere about your apology for it. So yeah. There's a whole lot, I think, in Catholic online world here that we have to be careful at how quickly we come down and condemn
and
someone.
Understanding what true justice and true mercy are. I think it's right about how quickly we come to a conclusion.
Yes. Yes.
We never have all the information.
No, we never do. We never do. And I get tied up too. Do I want to be on my phone looking at these fights going down online when everything else is telling me you should really be off your phone more and probably preparing to go to confession?
Right. Right.
But it's hard to live in both of those worlds. It's hard to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. It's definitely a balance we have to strike.
Yeah.
It's hard. An easy one. Well, I think we got to wrap it up, but that was a fabulous conversation. Thank you.
My goodness. Thank you and congrats on this new show. It's always exciting to have another lovely voice to listen to. Not my own. No.
Well, listeners, you can listen to more of Mary's voice. You can find her on Instagram at Coffee Donuts Podcast. Your radio show is also, you do a weekly podcast. Is that right?
We do. We drop it on Fridays. Usually you can find it on iTunes with Coffee and Donuts with John and Mary, two ampersands. And you can also find us on Instagram. We are the handle Coffee Donuts Podcast. We do book giveaways there. I believe, did we give away a copy of your book back in the day? I want to say we did.
I think
maybe
you did.
Not. I think we might have. If we didn't, we should. We definitely should have. So that's where you can find us there. Yep.
Fabulous. And you are domestic_apologist. I love that.
Yes. Gosh, Domestic Apologist was my blog from back in the day when we all were blogging away, tippy-tapping at nap time. And I'm not there so much as I am on Instagram anymore and doing my radio interviews, but still love that title, Defending the Home. It's kind of what I think I'm about.
Well, thank you for joining me. Listeners, if you have a quote or a guest you'd like to suggest, you can follow this show on Instagram too, quoteme_podcast, or find me at my website, lindsayslagle.com. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, leave a review wherever you find your podcasts, tell a friend, and then go subscribe to Mary's show too.
Woohoo!
Next time, God bless you. Thanks, Mary.
Thanks, Lindsay. God bless too.
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at catholicsingles.com. Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.